Good morning, church. Merry Christmas. It's so, with Christmas being on a Wednesday, it feels so far away. I had planned to wear my red Christmas sweater vest, but with the white that has shown up in my beard and my particular physique, we'll say, it was very Santa-like. Like it was there. I was killing it in the mirror, and I was like, nope, we're going gray. So instead, you're getting a nice wintry mix here of silver. Oh, I love you, church. Good morning. If you are able, we do ask every week, I ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, and that's a way that we reverence God's Word as the authority for our life. And so if you're able and willing, will you please stand as we read God's Word together? Now, it's a passage that most of you wouldn't even have to look up. You know this one. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Heavenly Father, today we praise You and we thank You for sending Your Son. Without Christ, we have no life. Without Christ, we have no hope. Without Christ, we bear no fruit. Without Christ, we are lost. Thank You for loving us and choosing us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So in one of those conversations that kind of in my mind serve as the thing that I keep going back to, one of the memory touchstones that I have with my grandfather is these conversations. He always had a way of making sure that we would be sat down, just me and him. And he would do this with all of us grandchildren, but he would just find a way to make sure that he sat down where it was just us two. And he would look at me, and he would just start talking, and how are you doing, checking in, and we could have these conversations where mom and dad weren't involved, and my cousin wasn't involved, my brother wasn't involved, it was just us. And he would say these words of wisdom, and these are what come to mind when I think about my granddad. And one of the ones that has come to mind recently is my granddad said to me this. He said, now son, you know, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And then he would always, whenever he said that, he would kind of go through this list of things so that he could make his point. He said, you know that the Bible says that God is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And you know that the Bible says that He'll give us our heart's desire if we keep our minds on Him. And the Bible says that He will give the church shepherds according to His own heart. And the Bible says that when we pray, He'll give us exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or think. He gives us brand new mercies every day. He gives us blessings we don't deserve. He gives us chance after chance after chance. Well, I can never outgive God. But if I love God, I can't help but give. Because I can give without loving, but I can't love without giving. Okay, so in our series about the gift exchange, this is what I give to God and what God gives to me. So what do I give the person who literally has everything? Now, I know that some of you are procrastinators. And you like, yes, you like, you like the thrill, I think, of waiting to the last minute to see just how many people can fit into a store the day before Christmas. Or maybe it's not that you like the thrill, it's just that you're busy. And it snuck up on you, you know, because Christmas's date changes year to year. It's hard to keep track of. But some of you are procrastinators, I understand that. And so this is kind of a last moment to let you know. Today is the last day you can order on Amazon and still receive gifts before Christmas Day, provided they have it in stock. Well, the good news is, I'm not even going to trouble you to look. I've done the looking for you. And I'm going to share with you some last-minute shopping ideas for Christmas gifts, because I want to be helpful. Now, you say, Adam, what were you doing when you came up with this idea? No, not shopping. I'm going to say three words, and it'll all make sense here in just a moment. Well, four words. Flaming hot nacho Doritos. Those are important words because it's going to make sense of the first gift idea that I have. All right. Now you put these babies on your fingers so that when you eat cheesy chips, it doesn't get on your fingers, because there's nothing worse than that, right? Because I want the flavor. I just don't want, this is what you get someone who doesn't have, so the person who has everything doesn't have these. You're welcome. Speaking of messy things to eat, you know what would really help is a taco holder. In particular, there's this here Tricera taco holder. Now, don't worry if you're saying, but I'm more of a carnivore myself. That's okay. They also have the Tachosaurus Rex model. And if you're thinking, what about side dishes? They've covered that as well with the Nachosaurus. These three things are a must-have for the person who has it all. They don't have these. While we're on the, you can see there's a stream of consciousness at work, because while we're on the taco subject, how about a taco sleeping bag? That's fine, right? Who doesn't want a taco sleeping bag? Y'all are lying. If someone got you this, you'd be like, wow, you shouldn't have. Okay. And nothing will help you sleep better than a Nicolas Cage pillowcase. The person who has everything does not have that. That does not help you sleep at all. The steely, searing gaze of Nicolas Cage. But you can also find some great deals from personal sellers, not just Amazon. Probably the best one I saw is these deer leg nunchucks. Now, first off, only $20. All right, that's a great deal. They're in Aurora, Indiana. That's a surprise. I like that it's numb, as in N-U-M-B, not nunchucks. Those are numbchucks. I like them. That's great. All right. That's a lot of jokes. God loves laughter. You can find great deals for the person you love everywhere. Just make sure you keep your eyes open. But you know what makes a great gift great? Here's what makes a great gift great. There's several, four things that kind of are the hallmark of a great gift. Okay? The first one has to do with the requirement of the giver. You can identify a great gift by looking at the requirement involved. In other words, the most special gifts are the ones that didn't have to be given. The most special gifts are the ones that aren't required. That someone of their own free will, someone thought of you when they didn't have to, when it wasn't required. So the first thing I think about a great gift is that it has to do with requirement. The second thing that I think about great gifts is that it has to do with the relationship with the giver. It is hard to buy something good, to buy a great gift for someone you don't know. It's hard. A great gift. Sure, you can get them gift certificates and all that and let them get their own thing. That's fine. But if we're going to talk about a great gift, people who don't know me, you ever get a gift from someone who doesn't know you really well and just doesn't fit quite right? When you know someone, when you're close to someone, when you understand who they are, then you can get those gifts that are going to be the most memorable and the most special gifts, because it'll fit right. The third thing about great gifts have to do with the resources of the giver. Now I'm gonna give you a secret here. All right, this is a secret. And I think most of you should know this, but I want to make sure that we really get it clear for our younger folks. There is a world of difference between what something costs and its value. Do you hear me? There is a world of difference between what something costs and its value. Value is not determined by cost. If anything, if you're going to look at that, value is determined by sacrifice. The value of a gift I give you might have a lot to do with how much I put into it. Now, not its cost. Once again, I think it was Christina Murphy who was telling the story about her mom who saw the homeless person and gave them the extra sandwich that McDonald's had accidentally given her. And then when she handed it to him, she noticed his hands were cold. So she also gave him the scarf. The person said, "What are you doing?" "You had already given him a hamburger." And she said, "That didn't cost me anything. The gift was the scarf." You see, that had value, not just cost. Okay, that there's something about this understanding of what it takes and the sacrifice that is involved gives something great value. And then there's the reason that it's giving. The reason that it's given. Because gifts that come with strings attached are the worst kinds of gifts. That's why sometimes you say no to certain gifts. All right, now take a look back at John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." John doesn't have a Christmas account, at least not the way that Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel has it, right? They start with angels and stars and shepherds and babies and magi. They're telling all of that story. John instead starts with this theological discourse on the essential equality of the Son with the Father. which is great Trinitarian discourse. But John 3:16, in many ways, is John's Christmas, because it reveals that God is the perfect gift giver, because he gave us his son, because Christmas happened, because of the incarnation. It wasn't required. It was freely given. Not because we deserved it, but because we are loved and chosen. Amen? It was the product of a deep relationship. Because God knows each of us and knows just what we need, he gave. It cost him everything. And the sacrifice was great. Amen? And he gave it out of love for the right reason. Jesus truly was the perfect gift. Amen? What a shame it would be to miss out on that gift. Francis Buechner, who is one of my favorite preachers, he spins a story about a conversation where the innkeeper of Bethlehem is recounting some of what happened that night. And you know, so in his kind of telling of the story, Mary and Joseph have come up. But this was, you know the Christmas story where Mary and Joseph are looking for a place to stay in Bethlehem. They get there, place is crowded, place is full. He has no place for them in the inn. Well, that's the guy that is apparently being interviewed a long time after those events. And he tells the story and it goes like this. He says, well, do you know what it's like to run an inn? To run a business? Or I guess even run a family or anything in the world for that matter, even your own life. Do you know what that's like? It's like being lost in a forest of a million trees. And each tree is a thing to be done. Is there fresh linen on the beds? Did the children put on their coats before they went out? Has the letter been written or the book been read? Is there money enough left in the bank? Today we have food in our bellies and clothes on our backs, but what can we do to make sure that we'll have them still tomorrow? A million trees, a million things. Until we finally have eyes for nothing else. And whatever we see just turns into a thing. The calling of children outside your window is just a distraction. It's an irrelevance. It's not life. It's not the wildest miracle of them all. The whispering in the air that comes sudden and soft from nowhere, it's only the wind. It's only the wind. Of course, I remember very well the evening they arrived. I was working on my accounts, and I looked up in time to see a woman come through the door. She walked in that slow, heavy-footed way that women have in those last months of a pregnancy, as though they're walking in a dream or at the bottom of the sea. And her husband stood a little behind her, a tongue-tied, helpless kind of man, I thought. And I can't remember either of them saying anything, although I suppose some words must have passed, but it was mostly silence. The clumsy silence of the poor. You know what I mean. It was clear what they wanted. And I hadn't stood up, of course. There was mainly just silence, and then it happened much in the way that you've heard. Now look, I did not lie about there not being a room left. There were no rooms left. Though perhaps if there had been a room, I might have lied. As much for their sakes as for the sake of the inn. I mean, their kind would have felt more at home in a stable, that's all. And I don't mean that unkindly either. God knows. Later that night, when the baby came, I wasn't there. I was lost in the forest somewhere. The enchanted forest of a million trees. The unenchanted forest of a million trees. A million things. Here's the promise that God makes. Give God your heart, and God will give you his presence. Give God your heart, and God will give you his presence. This is the promise of Christmas. Let's watch a video called Missing Jesus.
Hey, Ed, come check out my North Star Christmas tree topper. It levitates.
Is this a gummy bear?
Yeah, we lost baby Jesus. Hey, check out these LED lights. I have them synced up to a 76-hour all Christmas music playlist.
There's my little Christmas DJ.
So, are you waiting till Christmas is over so you can go buy a new nativity set when they're on sale?
Huh? No. We lost baby Jesus like 11 years ago.
Is baby Jesus always a gummy bear?
Oh, no. We trade it out every year. Yeah, like last year it was a tiny troll doll. And the year before that we used a dog treat. They were the perfect size, but Dalton kept taking them and eating them.
You mean your dog kept stealing them?
No, my son Dalton. He loves those dog treats. Especially the peanut butter ones. There was one year that we used a doll head. That was creepy. We made a modeling clay baby Jesus. So the dog took that one too. One year we got desperate and used an ice cube. That was a miss and a mess. Yeah, just seems like everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts.
Say that again.
Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last.
And
what?
Say it again, slowly.
Why?
Just do it, Dulcimo. Slowly, do it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Just do it.
This is getting weird.
Dang it!
Fine! But when I'm done saying this, you're gonna march in here and you're gonna watch my star levitate.
I'm fine. Do it.
Fine. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to... Oh, yep, there it is. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So, I know that you're busy. And I know that you're stressed. And I know that you're angry. And I know that you're hurt. And I know that you're wounded. And I know you're offended. And I know that you're independent. And I know that you're stubborn and sometimes tired and distracted. And I know that, like me, you get caught up wandering in the unenchanted forest of a million trees, just managing things. My prayer for you is that this Christmas, you do not miss Jesus, because there is nothing you can replace him with that will ever work. For just a moment, I pray that we can look up from all the things we're managing, that we can see the miracle, that we can see the light, that we can hear that small whisper that is not only the wind, and that we can follow it to see where it leads. I want to invite the praise team up and the prayer team up. What will I give to God? What do I get the person who not only has everything but has given me everything? What will I give? And at some point, if you ask that question long enough, you find that there's only one real answer that you can bring. And I say, okay, God, you get my life, the whole messed up thing. You get this with all of my false starts, with all of my mistakes, with all of the small successes and the large failures that I tend to remember, with all of the relationships and the things that I've damaged. You get me, and I'll give you the best thing I can offer you, God, is my heart, and it is not in great shape. I can give you my weary, anxious, easily tempted, hurting heart. And God looks at that and he says, it's perfect. It's just what I always wanted. Let's stand and sing.